This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I go immediately to Chris Livesay. Chris is in Delhi, India. He's a foreign correspondent for CBS News, covering the scale of the catastrophe as best we can understand. India being more than a billion people, much of it not available if you're in the large cities. Chris is in Delhi. His reports from Delhi are scary enough. Chris, a very good day to you. You've been in a major hospital in Delhi. I've seen it on the TV. You've also walked the streets. What is your sense now about the healthcare in Delhi? Is it in any fashion looking organized, or does it appear to be getting worse? Good day to you.
Good day, and thanks for having me, John. It is not at all capable to handle the crushing weight of COVID-19. That is for sure. If you have money, you're definitely better off. You can pay to have access to a hospital bed. You can pay for life-saving medication. You can pay for oxygen. But most people in this country don't. Most people live underneath the poverty line, and those people are the ones most susceptible to this disease. They don't have access to hospital beds. They can't get a hold of oxygen. They can't get the vaccine. And so what we're seeing is hospitals overwhelmed, turning people away, and they're basically left to fend for themselves. You know, we have followed some of these people into charity offices. And just the other day, we were inside of a Sikh temple that has converted itself into a sort of oxygen clinic. People who can barely walk, many of them can't even get out of the back seat of the car. You know, a relative has driven them there, or, rolled up in a rickshaw, and they come up, the charity workers, with oxygen tanks and give them oxygen. Now, it's just a sip of oxygen, so to speak, because there's not enough to go around. And right now, these oxygen tanks are worth their weight in gold. So these people line up, get their sip of oxygen, and then they move on. This is hardly a long-term sustainable solution considering the scale of this catastrophe. I mean, this is just a glimpse at the healthcare system. I mean, I should emphasize, this is not at all officially part of the healthcare system. These are charity workers who are having to procure oxygen privately, oftentimes paying exorbitant prices, sometimes going to the black market because that's how hard it is to get a hold of it right now. It is utterly falling apart, the healthcare system in this country. I've never seen anything like it. I've covered COVID since the outbreak began in Italy, which at the time was the global epicenter of the pandemic. This is orders of magnitude worse than that.
Chris, I watched one of your presentations on video, walking through what appeared to be an extremely sophisticated hospital. You were talking to the physicians and the supervising administrators. What did you learn from them about their measure of this? Did they know this was coming? Were they prepared at the best hospital you were walking in?
They initially admit that they were not prepared, and eventually they say that they got their act together and were able to organize and get the oxygen and get the care, the medication, the treatment that they needed. But I have to emphasize that this was a private hospital. It is one of the best resourced hospitals in New Delhi. And I think you should take into consideration that all other hospitals would not allow us to enter. That's because of the amount of pressure that's being put on them by the government to not show the world what's going on inside of these hospitals. So the fact that we were allowed into this hospital suggests that it is absolutely one of the best hospitals in the country, if they were willing to show us what was going on. Nevertheless, we saw people being turned away because not only was their ICU full, but their emergency room was full as well. So if those are the conditions in one of the best hospitals in New Delhi, you can only imagine what it's like in some of the less expensive public hospitals. In fact, there are images of that. We've shown images inside of those hospitals, and some of them are horrific. And even worse are the hospitals in the hinterland, places outside of the major cities where the healthcare system hardly exists, where doctors are almost nowhere to be seen. Instead, you have family members who are looking after the sick, caring for them inside the hospitals, mind you, because there simply aren't any nurses or doctors there to do the job.
One way to measure the scale of it is life on the street. You know that there are cultures where you work to eat each day. Do you see the normal or any change in pattern of a pedestrian traffic or street traffic in Delhi?
Absolutely, because in New Delhi, there's actually somewhat of a lockdown here, which I should add, one of the leading epidemiologists of India, who is also a Princeton professor, Ramanan Lakshmanayaran, just told us that the lockdown in New Delhi is probably pointless because COVID-19 is already running so rampant here. In other words, it's too late for the lockdown to be doing any good. Nevertheless, what do you see? I was just out on the streets a few minutes ago, and they're mostly empty. The only things you see are, apart from wild dogs, are essential workers, people delivering food. You see ambulances. And I should also emphasize that many of the ambulances these days are not carrying the sick. They're carrying the dead, and they're carrying them to crematories, many of which are makeshift emergency crematories because the official crematories are completely overrun. Many of the furnaces inside of the crematories, because they've been running 24/7 nonstop for the past several weeks now, have begun to buckle and melt down. So in one crematory where we filmed, they actually had to move the pyres, the funeral pyres, into the parking lot. And so this parking lot was converted into an open-air crematorium, and again, running nonstop around the clock. The smoke, the stench of death, quite frankly, was overwhelming. It's enough to literally make you choke. And this is happening around the city 24/7.
The reporting says that the north was very hard hit initially, but that the pandemic is now moving into the south of India. It's a vast country, so that's ahead of us. A detail here, what happened in Peru, for example, early on in the first spring, was that people left the city. They went to the countryside thinking that was a place where they could be safe, but at the same time they could work. Do you see any indication from your reporting, we have about a minute, that people are leaving Delhi and going back to their home villages or to rural areas because that would spread the pandemic?
Absolutely. There are reports of that. The epidemiologist I mentioned says that this is happening, and that's one of the biggest concerns because it's in these smaller villages in the rural areas that so far don't necessarily that aren't doomed yet, so to speak. In other words, if we lock down these rural areas, there's still a chance that you can contain the virus to places like Delhi. Instead, you do see workers from Delhi going back to their hometowns, and this is extremely worrisome. And apart from that, we're starting to see the outbreak bleed across the borders of India, all across South Asia right now. So it's extremely, extremely worrisome.
Chris Livesay for CBS News. He's in Delhi, and he's been working Delhi, the hospitals. You can see all these videos, Chris's interviews and conversations on CBS video. You can find it anywhere. Good heavens. However, right now, we're not doing numbers and statistics because it's changing all the time. And the best authorities in India at all levels say these statistics are extremely unreliable because of the challenge of reporting. We've got people clearly overwhelmed, and there's just estimates. Chris Livesay for CBS News. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.